If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James. Book of James, we are reading chapter 1. I will read the whole chapter because it's been a long time since we went through James. We started a series. Today is fifth time we're going to preach on James. I was checking, the last time we preached from James was July the 14th. That's a long time. So I will read the whole chapter, chapter 1, and then we'll go through it quickly, and then we will go to the message of today, which is found in verse 26 to 27. James chapter 1. Let us read. James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My beloveds, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner is the sun risen with a burning heat that it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So when, my beloveds, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observed himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not control his tongue, but deceived his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. As I said, this is the fifth time we are going through the book of James. And today we are going to finish the chapter 1. As a way of going through what we have seen, we know that James was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the first pastor of the church in Jerusalem. James is writing, as we say here, to the Jews who were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. He's writing to them. These people were going through tough times. As we know today, and so it was then, many people were claiming to be Christians. We see today, people claim to be Christians. Everyone claims to be Christians. And James is writing those people. He gives them some tests by which they can test if their faith is a true faith or if it's just a fake thing, if it's just their own imaginations. And this is a big topic in scriptures. If we go to the Old Testament, we see time after time prophets coming up try to define what is faith in God, what is the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the true faith, what is the saving faith. In also in the New Testament, we see this continuing. There are books dedicated to it. 1 John is dedicated to this very topic. How one can define, how one can see that this is the true faith. And Book of James is not an exception to it. It gives us some tests. The first test James gives us is how you respond to trials. Yours and my response to trials is an indicator of whether your faith and my faith is a true or if it is a fake faith. Because when trials comes, when you're standing in the unstable water, when things are not going well, you see those who are belonging to God, they trust in God, they cry to God, they don't curse God. They don't lift their feet to God, they don't swear God, they don't curse. They trust in God. But somebody who's faking, somebody who's pretending to be Christian, when things are not good, what they do is they curse God. They mock God. They show that their faith was not a genuine faith. As these people were going through tough time, James is telling them that in this time of tough time, of trials, this is when the faith is tested. This is where the patience is created. That's where it comes about. The second test James gives to these people and to us, he says, how we respond to temptations. Temptations is when you sit here, your mind wanting you to do something. Your body wants you to do something which we know is not a good thing. How you respond to that? Temptations can come from outside, from work, colleagues, from people in the family, from different parts, from neighbors. But temptation can also come from inside, from yourself. You are tempted time after time. All of us are tempted to do something. How we respond to temptation shows if our faith is true faith or if it's just counterfeit faith. And James is clear to it. A child of God is tempted. He might fall into sin, but he doesn't stay there. He doesn't start advocating that sinful life. A child of God sins and sees that I've sinned, they repent of the sins, they turn to God, they ask God for help. And then James gives us the third test, is how we respond to the word of God. This is a big one, because many people say today that they are Christians. I am a Christian, I am a pastor, I am a priest, I am a choir singer, I am whatever they can be saying. But the true test comes how they respond to the word of God. When the word of God is opened, it is read, it is explained. When they are somewhere on their own, when they read the word of God, when the truth of God is revealed to them, when the heart is opened, how they react to it is an indicator if they are truly saved people or if they are just fake. The way we react, the way we read, the word of God compels us to do things, how we respond. Because there are some people who say that, I'm a Christian. But when the Bible commands them to do something which is against their will, you see the same person who is saying, I'm a Christian. He said, my God can't tell me, can't do this. The Bible is old-fashioned. Oh, Paul was this, or Peter was this, and they claim all these things. It just reveals that their faith was not a true faith. It was not based on the word of God. It was based on something else. You cannot separate a true believer from the word of God. It's by this word we came to faith. It's by this word we are called the children of God. We heard the word of God. You and I heard the word of God. Somewhere, somehow, we heard the word of God, and it compelled us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation came by the word of God. We live by that word of God. It's not one time we hear it and that's it. It's not that we claim that we love God, but we have nothing to do with his word. We love the word of God because this is what it is. And then James tells us that this reaction to the word of God is seen how we receive the word of God. How we receive it. It tells us that we are to receive it with submission. We are to be submissive. When the word of God comes to us, we say that all the promises of God are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't find ways. We are submissive to the word of God because we know that this is the word which saved us. This is the word by which we are being fed. It tells us to be quick to listen to the word of God. We have to be swift to the word of God. We have to be people who are looking for opportunity to listen to the word of God wherever it is presented. I can tell you that there are times where I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like listening to anything which is Christian. I don't feel that. It can go one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. I find myself with my phone going through, and then I'm reading some psalm. I'm reading something. I do have an app in my phone. I start looking stuff, and then I start reading scriptures. I start listening to a sermon. I start things. And I realize that I can't live long without the word of God. We must be quick to listen to it and slow to speak the word of God. Because it is holy, we have to treat it with respect. It's not that we stand up and say the word of God like what can I say? To throw some words that way we are to show it some respect, and we are to be slow to anger. Slow to anger. That means when the word of God is shared, when we listen to the word of God, when we read the word of God, when it pokes us, when it comes too clear to us, when it change, it is compelling us to change. We are not to be quick to wrath. We are not to be angry. We are to be slow to anger. Because verse 20, James tells us, verse 20 of this chapter we read, he said, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Then James tells us again that true believer has willingness to receive the word of God with purity and humility. We are to be meek. We are to be people who want to listen to the word of God with humbled heart. We are to be humble people. We are to be people who can be taught. There are people in Church of God who think they know it all. "You can't teach me anything. You can't tell me anything. I know it all." James is telling us that we are to put off all filthiness and abundance of wickedness. We are to put off sin in our lives when we listen to the word of God. When we listen to it time after time, it compels us. The sins are revealed to us and we are to take them off. We are to take them off. And last time we went through verse 22 to 25, which spoke about be doers, not hearers only. We are to be doing what we have learned in the word of God. We are to do what the word of God tells us. Because those who do what the word of God says give an evidence of a changed heart, of people who are humble, people who are obedient to the word of God. And those who say, "I believe, I believe, I believe," but they don't do it, it shows their heart. It shows that there are people who are not changed, who are not transformed. Jesus said that you are my disciples, or you love me if you obey my commandments. So we read the word of God, we hear the word of God. What he tells us to do, we do it. And we are not just people who hear. We change. Be doers of the word of God, not only listeners of the word of God. We went through that. And then James tells us that there's a way, three elements in this doing of the word of God. There are three elements. The first one he tells us that we are to apply this word of God without deception. Without deception. Because you and I have met people, or sometimes in our lives, we've done things in our lives thinking that we are doing it for God, but knowing that in our hearts, knowing that we are doing it for ourselves. We've seen people in Church of God doing things, but they're giving an impression that they are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, we can see that they are serving themselves. So when we do what we do, we are to do it without deception. We are not to be people who are deceived, because if you read this word of God, it tells us about people who claim to have a form of godliness, but by the acts, the behavior, they deny this power of the word of God. We are not to be the people who think that way. If the word of God comes to us, compels us of things, if things are revealed, If God comforts us, if that we have to take it personal. We have to know that He is talking to us. Because the Word of God is full of many, many examples of people who are being deceived, who think that what they do, everything they do with the outside, the outward work they do, is enough. These people are Christians. This is a tremendous concern to God, that there are many people. You and I will sit here and think that there are only two kinds of people. There are people who are saved and people who are not saved. That's what we think. But in scriptures, we find this third generation, or this third group of people. The group of people who are lost but thinking that they are going to heaven. They deceived people. People who are not saved. Who will give you a list of what they do. Because of that list, they think they are going to heaven. They lost but deceived. And scripture gives us this example after example in the Word of God. If you can open your Bible to the book of Matthew, Matthew 23:25-28. The Bible gives us an example of people who have the outside form of religion. People who think they are religious, who think they are going to heaven. Matthew 23:25-28. This is what the Bible says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. We see here that God doesn't want vain religious offerings or deeds. The Jews of Jesus' time, the Pharisees, they thought that the outside appearance was enough. There were people who were deceived. They did things only from the outside. Outside has to look good. They had a form of a system which was appealing to the outside, but inside there was nothing. The Bible tells us God is not interested in that kind of form of religion. And then the second example here is also given in the book of Matthew 25:1-13. Matthew 25, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Jesus is saying this: then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in the vessels with the lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard: behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We see here the five virgins who had the lamps in order. They had oil in their lamps. And we see the five foolish ones who had just oil and the lamps. The lamp is a sign of the outside religion. They had all what was required from the outside of the religion. They have robes. They have everything which is needed. They did all the outside duties of religion. And we see that they even spend time with the true Christians or the true people. They knew what religion was from outside. It could be that they went to church. They had all the ceremonies, all the things which are done in church. Everything was good from the outside, but the inside, they didn't have the oil. They didn't have what was needed, the religion from the heart. And we see here at the end of it, the door was shut. They were not able to come into the wedding and spend time with the master. The Bible is telling us about people who are deceived. We are to receive the word of God without any deception. We are not to be people who are focused all the time from the outside. We do all the duties, the outside duties. We forget the inside of the heart. As we saw these five virgins, from the outside you could have thought that they were the same as these wise ones. But when it mattered, they fell short. They were deceived. They were deceived. In verse 25 of James, let's go back to James. He ended verse 25 with these words. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This means that when you look into the Bible, when you read the Word of God, you see two things. First of all, you see your own sins. You see your own sins being shown to you when you read the Word of God. And the second thing, you see the Savior. You see the Savior as you are reading scriptures. The face of this Savior comes more and more to you. It shows that there is a Lamb of God who is able to take your sins, to wash away your sins. When you read scriptures, you don't find yourself in a system of that you are desperate. There is no hope. If you are genuine to yourself, read scriptures, you see your sins and you see the answer to that sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says here, that and you will be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be stuck at your sins. You will go further. You will see the one who is able to blot away your sins in scriptures. We listen to the word of God. We apply what we've heard of the word of God. without any deception. We are not people who only stuck into the doing. Because if I will ask you today, how you know that you are a Christian? If I will go out there, ask people, how do you know that you are a Christian? People will give you a list of what they do. I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I help the poor, I do this. People will give you a lesson of what they do. So Christianity is reduced only to what people do from the outside. But James is not stopping there. This is what we're going to see today. It was a long introduction. Sometimes it's good that way. That's the message of today. If I ask you today how you know that you are a Christian, you will give me a list of what you do. As I've been preaching, telling you that don't be only hearers. You are like, yeah, I am safe, I am fine. I do the word of God, that's fine. I do this. You could give me a list. I could give you a list of what I do. James is telling us something more. Let me ask you this question. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Why did you leave your beds, your rooms, your everything, and come here today to listen to the word of God? Is it just a mere habit? Is it that we are a small church? If you are not here, everyone will know that you are not here. Lena, you came all the way from southern part of Finland. You drove all the day. You were tired. But today you are here. Why are you here? And that's where James is taking us. The motives why we do what we are doing. We may find comfort in the doing, but he's going deeper why we are doing it. Verse 26. He says this. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. This is where we are going now. It takes us further. It says that if anyone, in their own opinion, if any one of us has an opinion that I am a religious people, this word to be religious is talking about the outside work, outside religious duties. I do this, I do that. What can be seen? I am religious people because I do things my religion commands me to do. You know, the Muslims, they do the things. The Hindus, they do the things what the religion commands them. Christians do things as Christianity commands us to do. But then James goes on to say that if this man does not control his tongue or her tongue, this one's religion is useless. If you and I claim to be Christians, if you and I do things from the outside, what we do, but we don't control our tongue, our religion is useless. Why does James pick up the tongue? I read today, I was laughing. He said that on average, an average person speaks 18,000 words a day. I know some can go beyond that. And I know some. And then this guy said that That is a 54 pages book. We write every day. And some of you, I think it's 60 pages or 80 pages. But for some, it could be empty book. Some don't talk. But still, we spend most of our time talking, as this study was saying. James is picking up on the tongue. Tongue. Why? Because the Bible tells us that out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your lips will reveal your heart. Because we can be doing stuff. I know of ladies in Lestadian movement. I've heard of another lady who was complaining about them. That if you go to the meetings in Colby and sit close to these women, you are in trouble. They are just there talking. They don't listen to what is being taught. They are just talking. And this woman was asking, why are they just talking? They don't listen. It's because among themselves, people in the village, they're asking who was there and who was not there. So if you were not in the meeting, they want to know why. So it's better to go to the meeting so that they see that you are there than not being there. So they sit there, people see that they are there, but they're talking. So they're outside, and the motive of that religion is that they go there, but they have nothing to offer. There's nothing to get from that religion. James is speaking the tongue. The tongue. We can hide things inside, but what is inside the heart comes out. If you spend time with some person for a while, you will know what is more important, what is in the heart, because they will talk about those things. That's why James is speaking the tongue. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious, he has the outward form of religion. He does all religious things, but does not control, does not govern his tongue or her tongue. This one's religion is useless, is futile. It has no value. This means that these religious things you are doing can be orthodox. They can be clean. They can be good. They can be fine. But if the heart is not right, if what you do is not from the heart, that's where James is taking us. He's telling us that pure religion is religion of the heart, the changed heart, the transformed heart. We do what we do because our hearts have been transformed, because our hearts have been changed. That's why we do what we do. That's why I pray. That's why I read the Bible. That's why I talk about God. That's why I do what I do. I don't do it because I want people to say that Don is religious. I don't do it so that people can see that one is religious. If I do it just for the sake of doing it, as I asked you before, why are you here? If you are here because it is a habit, because it's something to do on Sunday, you have nothing to do, then you have missed the point. But if you tell me that you are here because the Bible has commanded you to meet up with other believers on Lord's Day, to spend time with a believer, to listen to the word of God, to hear the command of God, then you are on the mark, and to know that your heart has been changed. You are doing it because your heart has been changed. It comes from the heart. Pure and useful religion is religion which comes from the heart, because heart of the heart. We are changed from inside. We are changed from inside. We know who our master is. We know his command. We are not people who are seeking our own goods. We know that this is what he has said. We control our tongues. Because the Bible says in Matthew 12:37 that by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Because your words will reveal your heart. We've seen people, it could be in this church or other churches, who claim to be Christians. They will do all the religious duties. Their theology is correct and they do everything accordingly. But when some trials comes, small things come, you see that all those things were from the outside. There was nothing from inside. It was just religious, empty duties they were doing. And that's what James is telling us, that not to be people who are just doing, because of pleasing the outside. We can't be deceived. We must have a religion of the heart. That means that anyone who's saved of God will do what God is commanding them, and they will do it because the heart is changed and transformed. And then, second thing, James goes on to say on this matter of not being deceived, religion of the heart, in verse 27, he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James is talking about pure religion. If you talk about that today, no one will agree that there's pure religion. He's telling us about pure religion. Pure, it means it is clean religion. It is unstained, the real thing, the original religion of God. He says that this true religion is demonstrating love and compassion. He says that the purest kind of worship, the purest kind of this religion, doesn't have anything to do with the outside. It has to do with what comes from the heart. I hope that any one of us who is here today, we are here because our hearts have been changed. We are here because we are showing what is in our hearts when we love one another. When we do what we do on a daily basis, we do it because our hearts have been changed. We're showing, it is the demonstration of what is inside, what Christ has done for us, what he has done. We see it day by day in our lives. It's not that you have put yourself in this mode that I have to do, and finding comfort that by doing this, I will go to heaven. I can tell you that as a young man, I claimed to be Christian, and I was loud about being Christian. I found my first job, and there was so many young people there. There was many young people at that work, and I was loud. One day I stood up, and I was swearing. Use filthy language, maybe about 5 minutes on a stage, like to show how good I was in swearing. And was this Indian man who heard me, he didn't say anything. And then the following day, I was telling him that I was a Christian. I was telling him that I go to church. It was a Monday. I told him that I went to church, I go to church, I do this. He looked at me and said, "You don't go into church." I was like, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church." He looked at me and said that, "Don, Christianity is not but what you say. Christianity is how you live your life. I've observed you. I've heard. You remember last week what you did. There was nothing Christian in what you did. That was a knockout punch. I tried to defend, but the guy didn't give me any time to listen to. My heart showed that I was not Christian. My heart showed that I was not a Christian. My behavior showed that I was not a Christian. We can pretend, we can do what we do, unless the heart is right. We are to guard ourselves, you and I, that we are not becoming people who just do. We do. We are to be people who ask ourselves question after question. Why are we doing what we do? What is the motive beyond what we do as Christians? Because otherwise we're going to end up like these five fools, virgins, or the Pharisees, who spend their time doing, and then end of the day maybe spending eternity thinking how we turned out to be this way. How did I miss heaven? And he says this thing, which I think it's worth gold or more than gold. He says pure religion before God the Father, before God. He makes a standard that pure religion is on God's standard. The religion which is accepted by God, which meets the standard of God. God is the one who's going to evaluate the religion. Not you and I. Not your denomination. Not your imagination. Not our generation. The pure and undefiled kind of religion is to be the religion which will be meeting the standard of God. This is where many so-called Christians miss the mark. We have denominations, church denominations of Christian people who follow those. They say that the bishops met, the synod met, and they decided this. The council met, the pope said, he decided this. Things which are clearly opposite to the word of God. But people say that our denomination follow this. They don't ask themselves that what is this pure religion? Who is the evaluator of this religion? James tells us it to be by the standard of God, God's own standard. If I stand here and tell you things according to my own standard, if Kyle stands here and tells things according to his own standard, if somebody comes from somewhere and tells you things according to their own standard, that religion will not save you. But if we tell you things according to the standard God has put before us, according to the standard God, the evaluator, has put here, that religion will take us to heaven. We must always ask ourselves things. What standard is this religion? What standard? Who is the evaluator? Is it God? Or is it our denomination? Or is it our pastors? Is it this? Is it God who's doing this? Pure and undefiled religion by God's standard. So you must guard your own heart that you don't make your own standards. God forbid that we will sit here in this church, make our own standards. As we've seen people doing, we make standards comfortable for us in this church. Oh, people out there make the standard according to themselves. We forget the standard of God, which is found in the Word of God, in the Bible. That's why it is a blessing to have a church of people who are interested in studying the Word of God. People who spend time reading the Word of God, who know, who can see when the error comes in, that this is error. Why the Bible says this. People who can hold the leaders accountable. People who have high standard according to the Word of God, who don't lower standard because they want to be famous or to be known or to be accepted. Pure religion is not according to my opinion. All your opinion is according to the standard of God. And then James goes on. He tells us what this religion is. First, it is by God's standard. It must be pure. He says that it is to visit. In verse 27, it says that it is to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. As James picked up the tongue is not the standard for Christianity. He picked up just one thing. Here, he's picking up to visit the widows and orphans. It's not that Christian life is only about visiting widows and orphans. No, there are a section in the Church of God of people who are in need, the weak, weak people who are in need. They need help. The people who you give, you won't get back. The people you care for, but you won't get back. But we know that God, time after time in scriptures, he talks about widows and orphans. God cares for them. James is speaking this portion of people who are the weak, the one in need. Not people we love. And he used the word to visit. That means it's not just to say hi to them. I say hi to you. Hi to visit. It means to go there, to sit down, to attend to their needs, to nurture them, to provide for them, to care for them. People God has given us, who are weak among us. We see Apostle Paul is telling this to Timothy, that he should take care of the widows, real widows in the church. He should take care of them because they are the weak people. We are to visit them. We are to take care of these people. It shows that we are people of love. Christianity is manifested by our inner love. We have love from the inside. We give it to the people who don't even deserve it. People who don't give us back. Obedience and love. To visit. We are to visit those who are in need. We are to visit one and us when we have troubles. And that is the duty of everyone, not only the pastor. Not only those who are social. Every one of us. We are to take care of the weak. We are to show compassion. We are to show love to one another. This is what James is talking about. True religion, by God's standard, is from the heart, and we show what is in our heart by showing compassion to others. To others. We are to be people who know what it is to be a Christian. James is giving us this list so that we can be guided by it. We can study it time after time. 1 John, if you read this one and you read 1 John, sometimes you are confused. You don't know which one you are reading. Because they talk about this same topic. We are to take care of God has given us. We are to control our hearts. In the third thing and last thing, James tells us that we are to apply the word of God without compromise. We are to have an uncompromising spirit. End of verse 27, he says, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This means that a Christian is not somebody who enjoys the system of this world. When I talk system, I say the cultures, the ideas of the world, philosophy of this world, perversions of this world, all the agenda the world is giving us. Christian should be somebody who's thinking, who is careful. We are not to be like the world. There must be a difference in us. We hate what is bad. We love what is good. That's how Christians should be. It is that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Blemished from the world. We are to be pure. We are to be separated in that way that we are not thinking like the world thinks. We are to be people who are thinking of winning the lost, not to be among the lost and living like them. Again, this is one part. The church of God is gone totally opposite. The church today thinks that by we being in the world, behaving like the world will love us. We're losing the point. On what standard are we Christians? What makes us Christian? What standard will stand? By what standard are we going to be judged? You control your tongue. You know by what standard your religion is by. You visit the poor. You keep yourself separated from the world. Then we know that this religion is from the heart. This religion is religion of God. God has transformed your heart, and what we see from outside is the fruit of what is inside, not the opposite. I pray that as we leave this place, we'll be people who are asking ourselves always the question, why am I doing what I do? What is my heart reaction to what I have just done? Do I show love? Do I show compassion? Is my heart right with what I'm doing? Or I'm just doing things for my own desire? You test your faith when you are faced by difficulties, trials and temptations. You test your word by how you respond to the word of God. And you ask yourself, what is my motivation? Big things. There is a danger. We may be deceived. But the word of God guides us. Before I leave, let me leave you with these three questions. The first question, how do I relate to myself? Am I honest with myself? How do I relate to myself? What comes habitually from my heart? The second question, how do I relate to others, especially those in need, the weak? How do I relate to them? Do I look down on them? Do I just help them when somebody is watching? And the third question, how do I relate to the world? Am I like the world, or is there any difference in me? Do I buy into every philosophies of this world, or do I go by God's standard?
Shall we pray?
Father, we do thank you for your word. As we heard here James telling us about testing our faith, your word tells us time after time that we are to examine ourselves if we are indeed in faith. We pray, Father, that you will help us from deception. You will help us, Lord God, from Lord, being people who think or who lower standards to meet our standards. Help us to be people who live by God's standards. Help us, Lord God, to be people who do what we do because our hearts have been changed, our hearts have been transformed. We read the Bible because the heart wants it. We pray because you have commanded us and our heart wants it. We pray, Father, that you will help us to separate ourselves from the world in our thought, in what we do, to be a witness in this world. Lord, comfort those in need of the word. Lord, guide and lead. All this we do pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.